Well, I spoke to my friend Professor Price. So he told me everything that I needed to know. He said I shouldn't worry about bumping anybody off, which I think is great. You know, make sure that I take, well, I am OCD, so make sure I take a shower for the shower game. I want to make sure I'm not a little bit too loony or a little bit too toony. And I need to make sure I'm on the spot, I'm off the spot, but on the nose.
If you know, you know.
Oh, wait, that was my secret ex. Hold on. Come here, buddy.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Whammy versus Grinch will not be heard of this time, because who cares? We all lose. In its place, we present the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and I didn't see the special cameo by Fang in there, by the way.
Hold it, Fang! Hold it! Don't forget the money!
Bad attempt at a whammy voice brought to you by Chico Alexander.
Heyo.
However, we are going to have a semi-decent attempt to put on a good show. I hope. I think. Maybe. By the way, how about them Dukes? Congratulations to Duke for winning the ACC title! Yay! In football.
And no one goes to the playoffs! Yay!
Yeah! Yay. Well, no. Miami went to the playoffs. Just Duke didn't. But that's okay.
But
anything to make Chico's holiday season. Isn't that right, Chico?
Not till January, people! Anyway, yeah, so we've got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. We've got a follow-up on a big story we talked about last week. We've got the final Jeopardy regular season matches. We've got the finale of Survivor forthcoming, the finale of The Amazing Race, the historic finale of The Amazing Race. We've got the finale of 99 to Beat. Did a Survivor win? Did a Big Brother alum win? Did a Power Ranger win? I can answer that question.
And we have, yes, and we also have some business that we all predicted would happen. I'm shocked. This is my shock face. And since it is the holiday season, we're going to have another edition of Are You Buying What They're Selling? But on this lazy Sunday afternoon, Chico, if you would, please.
From somewhere in America, WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to episode 515, two episodes before the best and worst of everything, here on 5and1. My name is Jason Block. I hope everyone is warm and toasty, because it's cold. Chico, Gordon, gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are.
Usually we play this once, we need to play this twice. The Concords, please. Last week, we reported on the very massive deal where Netflix said to Warner Brothers Discovery, here, have $27.75 per share, and Warner Brothers said, okay, we'll give you, you know, the movies, the theme, you know, we'll give you pretty much everything except the networks. And everyone
take
was...
Take my money!
And everybody said, oh, it's going to be nice, it's going to be easy! Wrong.
Yeah, about that.
About that, Chico. Paramount said, hold my money.
Yeah.
No, you take my money.
It's okay. You know what? I find it I'm gonna stop you right here. I find it very, very odd that they did not have enough money to pay Stephen Colbert to stay on the network, and yet they find $10 billion somewhere.
No, try $108 billion.
They find $108 billion from somewhere to buy Warner Brothers Discovery lock, stock, and barrel.
It was actually hiding in our Chico was hiding in our studio set.
Oh, okay.
So I wish. I wish.
We certainly don't use it for our production costs, people.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, but seriously, it's a $30 per share
for everything.
Cash outright. But Gordon, you all know that it's not just Paramount's money. There are investors involved. It's not just, Chico, Colbert's getting canceled anyway, and you know why, and had nothing to do with money. Just saying, okay?
I would say it has everything to do with money.
Politics aside,
this is very interesting. This is real interesting.
And believe it or not, this actually also has nothing to do with money. This has to do with content, power, monopoly, that sort of fun stuff.
Yes, that is exactly the point. Because Warner Brothers is, and kids, look it up. They are one of the most powerful media conglomerates in the industry, only seriously behind Disney, if that you could flip it, if you really want to call
As horribly as they have screwed up recently, and as much as we like to make fun of them, they do a lot more things right than wrong, which is why they are in the position where they are. That all being said, they are up for sale in a potential hostile takeover.
Yes.
So, gentlemen, who do you think wins and why?
Wow. That's a really good question. I didn't even think about that. I'm just thinking, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking to myself, a Warner Brothers Discovery has this deal with Netflix to buy the streaming and the studios up, but not necessarily the networks. And I'm thinking to myself, if they want to keep that going, they're going to have to use the poison pill. There's like, they're going to have to say to Paramount, hey, you can buy us up, but it's going to cost you.
I really think Netflix is going to win the deal on this. I really do. I think Netflix, for all its power, I really think it's just better run right now. And the fact is, Paramount is still in chaos. The Skydance merger just happened.
Yeah, the Skydance merger happened, and of course, the Ellisons are not going to stop at just Paramount. They're going to gobble up whatever they can, hence this hostile takeover. But here's the thing. Yeah, they have friends in high places, but how far can you go poking the bear on this? You know what I mean?
I agree with everybody here. I think the merger with Paramount and Skydance is one thing. I think WBD being sold off to Netflix, not only if that happens, not only does that really shift the face of streaming, if it hasn't done so already with all the other stuff that Netflix has, it's really looking at network TV as what cable was 10 years ago, which was nice, but not necessarily necessary. All the major things that you're hearing of right now are on Netflix. Really? Think about that.
That's right.
That's true.
You also have more
diversity, more variety, more everything because of the business model that is Netflix, because it can be everything. It doesn't have to be just one network, or even three networks, or even four networks, or even 4.5 networks if we're discussing the CW whatever.
I mean, honestly speaking, and think about it this way, what has been the last huge major hit on network television in the last I mean, we could talk about Survivor in the beginning in 2000. I don't think the influence of network TV, I mean, it's there.
Well, here's the thing about network TV in the 2020s. It is not like network TV in the 2010s, not even like network TV in the 1990s, where people would huddle around and enjoy a shared experience. Now it's like, here is a show. It is on at this time, but you are given options to, you know, watch it whenever you want in case you haven't seen it.
Chico, I'm going to disagree with you there. Television is still a, we're going to have you watch it and hold it together experience, except it's no longer on the networks with the exception of the Super Bowl. Where is it? Stranger Things.
Yep.
Game of Thrones.
Yep.
The sequel of Game of Thrones.
House of the Dragon?
The fourth and fifth and sixth sequel to Game of Thrones.
Right.
The 30th sequel and spinoff to Stranger Things. It's not on network TV anymore unless you're talking about Survivor, Big Brother, or any sort of event engagement.
Except for the fact that that's also on streaming too. That's also on streaming too.
Yep. Jeopardy, Wheel of Fortune, you miss it at 7 o'clock? Hey. Just wait until 3 o'clock the next day. It's on Hulu. It's on Disney Plus. It's on Peacock. Yeah. And the only major holdout in the syndication game show market for streaming is Family Feud, really.
How can you say that? It's on Pluto.
No, I mean the new episodes of Family Feud.
I mean, well, the day after? Give it time.
Give it time.
I don't think they're holding out because again you've seen it there. I think it's just a matter of
time.
When the price is right.
Paramount Plus, baby.
Right. The idea of a unique television experience is dead.
Yes.
Has been for about 10 years? 5?
10, 15 years.
I don't think it's dead. I don't think it's dead. I think it's morphed.
Right.
And again, Stranger Things, to go back to that. You can even say Doctor Who for a lesser extent from a global experience. Though
yes.
It doesn't get the numbers, it's like everybody holds on the TV and we're waiting for the episode to show up. So
right.
it does still exist, not on network television. So if network television wants that back, they got to come up with things that will enable them to get that back.
Right. So we will follow this story as it continues to develop, because there's no way that this is the end. I mean, there's still some stuff that needs to be worked out, some I's that need to be crossed, some T's that need to be dotted, and all of that fun stuff, and we will continue to follow it.
And this will go into 2026.
By the way, my prediction, I'm going to disagree with you. I think Paramount's going to get it.
Oh, wow.
Did you say that Netflix is going to win?
No, you guys did.
No, I'm pretty sure you did.
You
want to go back and see it? You want to go back and hear it?
Yeah. Yes, I do, actually, because what I said was, if they win it, the global network changes. You missed my if.
Okay. We'll go back and hear it. But in the meantime, we've got to keep pressing forward. And
we have history as the first part of season 42 is over. Okay, so when we left Jeopardy, we have history as the first twins to actually win games on Jeopardy, which is Ray LaLonde at 13 and Ron LaLonde, who won only 3. So
yeah.
He will be back in the 2027? Is that what I'm saying right
I'm
now?
I'm guessing the 2027 second chance.
Yes.
Or
Champions Wild Card.
One of those two.
Yeah.
We will see Ron LaLonde again. We will see him
yes.
again. One person we will also see in the 2027 postseason is Will Riley, who spent all of this week as a champion. And he goes into Friday's game, which is the final game before the Jeopardy postseason. By the way, Will Riley, an engineer originally from Houston, H-Town, playing...
And, of course, lives now here in Brooklyn, New York. We're calling it a house.
Okay. He is playing against Trey Hart, a grant writer from Petaluma, California, and Madeline Dawson, a writer and editor from Staten Island. Going into the final, it is Madeline at the spoiler position at $900, Will with $10,395, and Trey has $19,600 with the Final Jeopardy category, TV history. The clue! A 1964 review of this TV special, still played today, mentions trials as an outcast and the songs of Johnny Marks. And if you don't know this, what rock have you been living in?
Well, okay, I had the right era, the wrong special. And don't laugh at me. I said it was a Charlie Brown Christmas. I forgot it was Vince Guaraldi who did the music, not Johnny Marks. But once the answer was read, I'm like, duh. Which is, of course, Chico.
What is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? And I'm kind of shocked that only one person got it.
So, and Jay, you know where this is going. What is Rudolph the Reckoning?
Right.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call me names. Yeah, used to.
And now they're venison.
Numb. I made venison chili the other day. Quite nice. Yeah. Anyway, Trey is the only one who got it right, and he goes into the postseason with $24,100.
Yeah, he's got himself a little bit of a break.
Right. Now, let's just explain for those who don't remember what's going to be happening over the next couple of months.
All right. So, we're going to start on Monday with the Jeopardy Second Chance. That is, a group of players are going to get a second chance to play for a spot in the Jeopardy Wild Card. That is going to take place from December 15th to January 2nd. The winners of Second Chance will go into the Champions Wild Card, which will take place from January 5th to January 16th. And then from January 19th to whenever we have a winner, it is the Tournament of Champions. Your list for the Second Chance players are Evan Argyle, Abigail Arnold, Guy Branum, yes, that guy, Bob Callan, Ricky Shandek, Dante DeMarco, Rachel Gray, Mustafa Hamid, Jenna Hayes, Aaron Himmel, Melanie Hirsch, Eugene Wong, Emily Johnson, Pete Johnston, Aaron Lee, Ivana Lopez, Molly Murray, Eric Nielsen, Keegan Olsen, Dan Puma, Ryan Sharp, Giselle Tsai, Chris Turner-Neal, Andrew Wong, Dave Whitmire, Allison Willard, and Jasmine Zhou.
Correct.
Where's Chico's name on there? Chico, now, what's your name?
That's Jeopardy Invitational time. But here's how the each Second Chance tournament works for the next 3 weeks. You have three semifinal games, and 1 2-day total point final. Okay? Winner goes on to Champions Wild Card, and there will be 3 weeks of that starting Monday. So enjoy that.
Yes.
Okay?
And of course, you know, Champions Wild Card consists of those three winners joining Jeff Barnes, Cameron Barry, Dave Vaughn, James Corson, Jonathan Hugendubler, Phil McKinney, Ian Morrison, Harvey Zelikovic, H-Bob, Jason Singer, Vicky Talvola, Stella Trout, and Dargan Ware. And the winner of the wild card will join the Tournament of Champions.
Yes. So, with that, let us go to the finals of this season's Amazing Race. Hit it, Phil.
All right, we've had a lot of fun traipsing along the European countryside, but now it's time to come home. And who do they come home to? Cookie Monster.
Sort of. Let us go there. So what happened was is that in the final leg of Paris, the third and final team to get to be in the finals are Joseph and Adam. Izzy and Paige are finished fourth, but as we found out in real life, they got married. So congratulations to them.
If you ask me, I say they won, but continue.
So our friends, Jazz and Jag, Kylan and Taylor and Joseph and Adam, fly to my hometown of New York City, okay? So then they go to take a cab to the Empire State Building. But what I loved about this is the cab that they found, that Jazz and Jag found, had a fellow Sikh in there. So they got to communicate a lot more freely and very happily too. So they go to the Empire State Building and they go to the next clue, and they had to go to the top of the Empire State Building. And I mean the top, okay? This and Gordon, this was amazing. This is a very rare thing. Not many people get to actually do this. What was the clue? Like something like 20 people have actually done this.
Really?
This is not a... Yeah, that's it. They had to rappel from the 108th floor to the 90th floor down and then get their next clue. All right?
So they were at the top of the Empire State Building. Did they find Z-100?
No, they did not. Nor did they find King Kong. Yes. So they then go to Epice's Bakery and got a special package, which was cookies, and deliver it to, 1900 Broadway, where Cookie Monster and Oscar the Grouch were waiting.
Yes, 1900 okay. Broadway, by the way, is the home of Sesame Workshop, the buying folks behind Sesame Street.
Right, and of course...
Or until it's not, rest in peace.
Okay. And then they were... not with the Netflix money they've got. Anyway. And of course, the letter of the day was A for amazing, which was nice. Okay. Of course, Cookie eats a cookie. Om nom 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 nom. And Oscar the Grouch tells them, scram! Here's your next clue. Right? Which was awesome. Can you get out of here, please? You're bothering me. Anyway, they go to Spandex House and retrieve 16 bolts of fabric. Different patterns, different colors. And then had to rush and run them down about 20 blocks to a place I know well, the Garment District, where they go to the Feldman Center of the Fashion Institute of Technology and receive their next clue.
Yes, that okay. Next clue, where they go?
They go to Serret Studios in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. I actually know where that is in the area. And then, Gordon, this was a brilliant memory challenge. Really well done, okay? And they had to solve an interactive crossword puzzle. Once the crossword puzzle was solved, letters were highlighted, which sent them to their final pit stop and final destination, home of the 27-time World Series champion, New York Yankees, at 161st Street and River. And, Gordon, the order they left Paris was the order they got into the stadium, which was Jazz and Jag winning first, Kylan and Taylor second, Joseph and Adam third.
Yay.
So, as you said, history was made. Please explain how, even though we all know how, but explain it.
Okay. Jag is the first player to win both The Amazing Race and Big Brother. Taylor is the first person to win Big Brother and finish second in The Amazing Race. So two pieces of history were made. And yes. Jag is thinking about going on the third Survivor.
Oh!
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I don't know if I can. I mean, that just seems like, you know, you complete the trifecta.
The trilogy?
You complete the CBS trifecta.
You're the greatest of all time.
You are the GOAT.
But I don't
see him sniffing going anywhere near the Survivor win. Because if you remember Once Upon a Time, Hayden, who won Big Brother, tried to do the same thing, and he got unceremoniously ousted by most of the cast, saying, "You're not playing Big Brother, buddy. You're playing Survivor."
Yeah.
Almost the same way where if you win Survivor and you return, you usually get yourself targeted.
Tell that to Sandra Diaz Twine, though.
Yeah.
Well, usually. Not always, but usually.
Usually.
Now, I have to ask, did you enjoy this season?
I did enjoy the season. Well, it took a bit to get to, you know, to that heady climax where we're just on the edge of our seat. Even if as predictable as this season was, it did have a very thrilling ending. I enjoyed the ending more than I enjoyed the
entire
season.
I did not, because they had the public U-turn, and that public U-turn makes the game not. I mean, the game is partially social. When you make it totally social, it's BS. It's boo poo. It really and truly is. And
I agree with Jason to an extent. However, this one I was okay with because they did all come from Big Brother in one way or another. So therefore, you knew there was got to be some sort of social gameplay in this. But I agree with Jay. I don't like this piece in there. It should be based on your prowess in terms of racing, not in terms of your social skills in that way. Obviously, there are social skills in The Amazing Race, but it shouldn't be brought up to that extent. That being said, this wasn't bad. I like
it. Was better than last season. I will give you that.
It was definitely, it was a million miles better than last season.
Yes, it was definitely a billion, because you didn't have all the people, you know, trying to throw a new twist every week. You know, it just doesn't work. Does not work. Let's go to the island, because the Islanders are about to make way for the Legends in February.
Okay, just one episode left, but before we get there, we have to get through this episode, and that is starting with a reward challenge, where castaways have to traverse a high step obstacle, maneuver a bag on a rope through a ladder bridge, crawl under another obstacle, retrieve two more bags. Then, once you have all three bags, you need to land a sandbag on a small high perch, and the first to do all of those wins Mexican food at the sanctuary and letters from home.
Nice. And it was...
And it was Savannah who won the challenge, and she decided to share it with Rizzo. But you know what they say, two is fun, three's a party. She invites Sophie along. So now we have sort of a bit of a separation thing, where we have Savannah, Rizzo, and Sophie. But back on the island, we have Steven and Sophie revealing that their advantage... that they have advantages to each of their allies. So now we have Advantage Apocalypse, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. Let's go to the Immunity Challenge, where castaways use their foot to balance a ball to the end of a beam. If the ball drops, they're out. Last one standing with immunity. Savannah wins her third immunity in a row, and Sophie hopes to use her advantage to steal Stevens, but he could only play it before Tribal, whereas she could only play hers at Tribal. You gotta read the fine print.
Exactly, and you'll see what happens in a minute. Because I love the... because Steven goes, huh, I'm going to say that I'm blocking Savannah's... I believe he blocked Savannah's vote.
He did block Savannah's vote.
So he's like... And he goes like this. No advantage, suckers! I don't got it! Okay, so we get to tribal, right?
Right.
We get, and so
we get
Sophie. Sophie, ask the question. Do you have an advantage, Steven? Steven goes, nope. She's like, hit the button, please. She's like,
perfect.
No, she's like, beep. So what happens is Rizzo says, you know what? I'm going to play. No, I'm not. I'm not playing the item. Okay. So Sage and Christina basically says, you know what, Steven? You're out of here. You're in the jury.
Oh,
so the final five are Sage, Sophie, Savannah, Christina, and Rizzo. Okay, gentlemen. Who wins?
Oh, not Savannah. If you get to the final with Savannah, you win. Rizzo.
Really?
That's where my mind's at.
Well, your mind's wrong because she's won three advantages.
Jake and I have seen a different episode of Survivor, I think, than I've. Yeah, let me try it again. I think I've seen a different episode of Survivor than Chico did. Maybe a different series. If you're Savannah, you want to bring Sage with you to the finals, and then you will win. Because Sage has been persona non grata for most of this game.
Correct.
Pretty much. But here's
and
the Christine, thing.
The person you do not want to bring to Survivor is Rizzo.
I was just about to say, correct. Rizzo, you know, if Rizzo gets to the final, he wins.
He wins.
Correct.
Yep. Easy.
Which is why I think Rizzo, two things. I will make two hot takes. Number one, Rizzo does not get to the finals. And number two, Rizzo will be one of those people in season 49 that we're going to see in season 50.
I agree with that.
I like that thought.
Okay.
Right.
I agree with that, too. So, do I see Christina winning? Nope. So, what I think is going to happen is it's going to be one of two people. If it's Savannah and Sage, that's going to be an interesting battle. But I think Savannah is a person that if she does not get in there, I mean, it's like I'm seeing somebody who's like running under the radar, like Sophie, winning.
That is very interesting. And
I don't see anybody like powerful because they're going to cancel each other out, sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm just thinking to myself, you may be playing your hands a little bit too hard if you are this powerful, because the powerful player almost never wins. It's always the one that, you know, can, you know, sort of say what the jury wants to hear.
Not what I meant. Okay. I don't think it's not like that. What I see is that there's got to be a balance there. It's that's why like people like Russell Hance never won, because they had, you know, crappy social
game. You need someone that can play a great social game, even more than a great strategic game, but do enough from the strategic standpoint to win.
Bingo.
And that's why.
So if you look at it this way, that's why Sage is not going to win this. Savannah's got the chops, but, and a big but here, the person that's been playing the best social game out of everybody is two people. One is Sophie, and the other one is Christina. If we make the assumption, based on all the foreshadowing, that Rizzo will not get to the end, because I agree with you, if Rizzo gets to the end, he wins. Because Rizzo has done both. He's played social games with everybody, and he's won a lot of challenges. So, I agree with you there. Therefore, he needs to be taken out. If he doesn't, he wins. If he does, I'm going to go a little bit on the oddball way. I'm going to say, if Sophie gets there, she wins. If neither Rizzo nor Sophie gets there, Christina wins, because she hasn't pissed off everybody.
He hasn't pissed off anybody, really.
Really? I agree.
I don't think so. Not many. Okay. I just think that this is a wide open final, and it'll depend on as we get from 5 to 4, and the final challenge, and then fire making, and then the jury. This is not a, there's no real dominant performer here outside of Savannah. She's gotten, you know what I'm saying?
I disagree with you. There is a dominant performer. We're just making the assumption he's not going to get to the end.
Yes.
Dominant performer's been Rizzo.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're just assuming that everybody sees that and he doesn't make it. However, if he does, he wins, and he deserves to.
Agreed. And then we will find out who gets on Survivor 50, because they're going to announce that in, I believe, because we got a 3-hour finale this coming Wednesday.
Yes.
Now,
okay, what do people from Survivor 49 get to Survivor 50?
Oh, I have heard rumors, which I'm not... can I confirm what I've potentially heard?
Say what Jason Block feels. Oh, you know what? We're a news group. Say what you've heard.
Okay. What I have heard is that both Savannah and Rizzo make the 50 cast.
Yep. I'll believe that.
And I'll believe that also, which, of course, A, makes a lot of sense, and B, if you want to say, because you heard that, they don't win, maybe. However, also keep in mind that we do have winners that have gotten to season 50. So there's no reason why it couldn't be Rizzo wins and gets to Survivor 50.
That would be insane.
Or in Savannah, for that matter.
That would be
That's
wild.
Right. Can you imagine if, say, one of the people from here wins and then goes back-to-back? Can you do a back-to-back? If you win a back-to-back Survivor, would you be considered one of the greatest players of all time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be considered one of the greatest Survivor players of all time if you win one, let alone two. Keep in mind, Russell Hance went back-to-back and got into the finals back-to-back, and I would consider him one of the better Survivor players of all time.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
We do. We have a couple of quick reviews. Both of them on Netflix. One of them I will do because I actually played this app a couple of times. It's called Best Guest Live. It's on Monday to Friday, 8 p.m., hosted by Hal March's grandson. I forget his name.
Hunter March.
And who did a show.
He does a show like Emo Genius. He did Sugar Rush on Netflix. And joining him from time to time will be the one, the only, Howie Mandel.
Yes. So, here's how it works. You have two puzzles and five clues to a person, place, thing, or object within the mystery sphere. Okay? Here's the catch. You have five clues and 20 seconds per guess. Here's the catch. You only have one guess. If you guess it right and you are the fastest, you are part of the winning pool.
Yay.
If you guess it right and are not, well, good on you. And there's two puzzles. One 5,000 and one 10,000. I cannot tell you how much I despise this game. Because Gigo and I had a little pre-production meeting, and we know exactly what this game should be called.
Yes, it should be called... Gosh, Blind Guess Live, because it reads like the Jeopardy Blind Guessers Twitter, because... Yeah. Yes, you have to be right, but you can be right, but you have to be the fastest. So, most of the game is blind sticking luck.
It's not good.
No, it's not good. And again, Hunter March, Howie Mandel, they're both live hosts. They're both really good. But the thing of it is,
that's not the issue. Cannot the issue is the game.
They cannot save a bad game.
And unfortunately, that's usually how it works. If your game is bad, nothing shall save it. I have not seen this. I will go to the T-bar, but from what I've been hearing, I need to go to the T-bar.
You do, and it's a D. It's a D. It's an absolute D for me.
Yeah, it's a D. And the thing of it is, it had so much potential, but yeah,
anyway. The execution is horrible, and also the part is the clue writing is horrible. It's esoteric moo poo. Okay.
And one of the phrases that we have here frequently is, we are not allowed to, nor can we, grade on potential.
Yes.
Correct. Yep. Because...
So what it sounds like, and again, I haven't seen it, what it sounds like is the game needed to be restructured.
Yeah.
And maybe Santa Claus needed to give it a better gift.
Right, so this one I did not see. Chico, did you?
Yes, I have. And it reads...
All six episodes?
I saw like half of the run, but it reads like a more of a documentary than an actual competition, but it does involve a bit of competition as Simon Cowell is looking for the next act. And it's a bit of a play on words, that title, The Next Act. It's both Simon Cowell's next act and also the next act that Simon happens to be looking for in the boy band sphere. What I like is that this show tells a story about the man behind all these big names.
By the way, the band's name is December 10. It's the name of the band.
Yeah. So
Googling it a little.
Yeah, and we see, like, and not only is he doing this all himself, he's got a team behind him, and it's good that they get a whole lot of screen time. And yeah, I mean, it's a really good piece of storytelling. It's a really good piece of storytelling, and if you are a big fan of anything Simon Cowell has done over the last 20 years, I say dive right in, because you will not be disappointed. It is an A-.
Gordon, did you see this?
I did not see this, so I'm also going to the T-bar.
Okay. Okay, so yeah, I'm
having some peach snaps.
But yeah,
right, I'm going to have some.
You're going to have some snaps, and I'm going to watch the other half of this show because it's a really good watch. It's less of a competition. It's more of a documentary, but that's just fine. And speaking of competitions, we are down to the final six as we spread the love to 99 to beat.
Okay.
All right, by the way. Okay, so as a reminder, some of the 99 includes a Survivor alum, a Big Brother alum, and a Power Ranger. None of them made it to the final.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have our final six players. They are Carlene Jones, an administrator from New York, Miranda Harrison, a Deal or No Deal Island contestant from Florida. Peter Nevins, a priest from Indiana. Leandra Snyder, a family member out of Utah. Colin and Preston are her brothers, and they've since been eliminated. Jennifer Wang, a Twitch streamer from California. And Ronald Mitchell, a firefighter from Michigan. So, let's go into the six games that they had to play. First game is Confetti Sweep. Carlene was eliminated. Okay. Second is, oh, by the way, Ken and Aaron dropped the hammer that they're not playing for $500,000. They're playing for the full million.
Okay, why is it for the full million? They say why?
No, they did not. They just, you know, sprung it on them.
Okay.
Okay, so now we go to our second game, 3D Puzzle. They have to solve a 3D puzzle, and they can't come in last. Miranda comes in last. She's eliminated. We're down to our final four. Alphabetti Golf. I'm looking to see what Alphabetti Golf. In a ball pit, they searched all the letters of the alphabet and placed them on golf tees in alphabetical order. Ronald's out.
Okay.
Then, Pendulum. Each semifinalist had 8 cans set on podiums, and they used a hanging ball to knock down their own cans. Jennifer's out. That leaves Peter and Leandra going up against the final game. The final game is called the Grand Finale. They have to get a nut tool out of a block of ice. Once that was accomplished, they move on to stacking a set of nuts. They couldn't move on from that until they were all stacked without falling. Then the final task had Peter and Leandra line up big dominoes on a podium and try to knock all of them down one after the other. The first person to do that wins $1 million.
And that was Peter. Now, of course, the online IWs, the interline online game show community, thinks Peter's win was quote-unquote rigged, you see.
I'm shocked. This is my shocked face.
Okay. The reason being is that he didn't use all of his dominoes, and she used all of hers. Therefore, it was not a correct win. The problem is that did he get to knock them all down? Yes, he did. Did the rules state that he had to use all of them? Nope. Therefore, thank you, TV Insider clickbait.
Yeah, Miranda said on Twitter, "Hey guys, it's Miranda from the Final Six. They did not need to use all the dominoes."
Right, so that, you know, pretty much it. Okay.
So the challenge wasn't itself rigged, but they could have, you know, said you don't need to use all the dominoes.
Yeah, I think that's more editing than anything else. I'm pretty sure, again, standards and practices, that they were fairly clear on it there. It's again, editing.
It's always the
Which is a difference between come and eat children and come and eat children.
Very good. That's actually excellent. By the way, I will say this show is getting a season 2 without a problem. No way.
Oh, without question. And there's it was a lot better than I gave it credit for, number one. And number two, the things that I don't give it credit for, they can fix on this. These are all fixable issues that they have, but the concept is sound. This was real. This was more fun than I expected to have with this. I'll be honest.
I agree.
It's one of those shows that sneaks up on you in a way.
I actually
think this is actually Ken Jeong's best hosting job. Much better than I Can See Your Voice.
Well,
I agree with you there. I mean, they also have their Mr. Beast, so to speak. If you understand my reference.
I do. And, yeah, I agree. 99 to Beat is a really decent watch once you get past the slog of the early rounds. And then you start, you know, getting... It functions as... It's basically a game show with reality show guts. You watch a game show. This is a shiny floor show. And then you have all these characters that you sort of grow attached to, and you find yourself rooting for them.
Indeed. And it's a good show.
It is. I like it. Ken's awesome. Aaron's awesome. The entire team at 99 to Beat is to be commended.
Okay. With that, we go into Brain Vision News. And in Act 3, we got stuff to sell you. Are you going to buy it? So, Chico?
Yep. All the news you didn't even know you need to know is on the other side of this break. Including, we are looking for the dumbest person in the UK. With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6 and 5 and 1, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And Sheikah will give you 22 things that he either did or preferred to do than watch the ACC championship game this season.
Yeah, I'd rather watch a Hurricanes game.
Ooh, no, dude, you'd rather watch... Well, no, you... No Kentucky Fried Tar Heels here. You're in first place, dude.
I know.
Crazy.
And the thing of it is, we play the Saints later this afternoon. So who the hell knows what's going to happen? We could have a stranglehold on first place by the end of the evening.
I would just like to remind you that you guys lost to the Saints at home earlier on this season.
We know!
On that note, we'll be right back.
We will be right back after this.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been brought to you by Fire Me Please, the college football edition. Because everybody's competing, you could almost say it's 99 a beat, because that feels like the same number of people that are currently looking for new jobs. That is Fire Me Please, college football edition. And will we have belly dancers? We'll find out. Atlanta Falcons may be calling. Chico.
Did you just say belly dancers?
Yes, belly check dancers.
Oh.
Well, they fired everybody else except him.
They fired everybody else on the college football staff.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
So, not a lot of news, not a lot of time. Gordon, if you would.
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Tracks Productions, and at Rock 104 Rock Tracks. Speaking of Rock Tracks, it is Sunday afternoon. You can hear him, as we are right now, on Rock Tracks with Doug Morris. That is Rock Tracks with Doug Morris every Sunday afternoon on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. And now, oh, here are the Concords again.
Yes, business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
All right, let's start with the amuse bouche, shall we? And that would be the season 18 judges on RuPaul's Drag Race. And headlining...
I have the list.
Headlining those judges, Cardi B on the season premiere.
Right, which is January 2nd, I believe.
Yes. Other judges include Tiana Taylor from All's Fair, producer Betty Blanco, Project Runway's Law Roach, Jamal Sims, Dove Cameron, Zara Larson, Brooke Shields, Iman, Atsuko Okatsuka, Amy Taylor, Annalie Ashford, Danielle Pinnock from Ghosts, Julianne Nicholson, Sarah Sherman, and Leland.
Yes. Again, that season starts January 2026. I believe it is January 2nd on MTV. Now, a bigger story is a massive mashup, okay? So the season 2 trailer of Beast Games Strong vs. Smart dropped this week. And of course, our friend Tim Sternberg is number 37 on the smart side. But the big thing is that one of the paths around the world heads to Fiji, where Mr. Beast and Jeff Probst survive. Jeff Probst combine into an island episode where the Beast Challengers play Survivor games. And we've seen them hanging off the poles, solving a treasure chest. Gordon, this is massive, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you also neglect a very, very major detail on this.
What's that?
One of the people that are on Beast Games also played Survivor.
Okay.
Does the name Sue Smee mean anything to anyone?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Sue is in Beast Games, and she winds up going to Jeff Probst's little island. Advantage? Disadvantage? We'll find out. This obviously could be fun as a media pro thing, but we'll get to that later.
That's about a month from now on Amazon Prime. And believe me, and put it to you this way, season 2 actually shrunk, but got bigger, if you understand what I mean.
Yep, I do.
So, oh my god, we have a mega date book here, because shows are ending, because it's almost time for Christmas and holiday break. Today, Sunday... Sweet Empire Winter Wars has their finale on Food Network. Monday are the season finales of Love is Blind Italy, Finding Mr. Christmas, Holiday Baking Championship, and Bake with Love. And Celebrity Name That Tune has Tori DeVito versus Craig Robinson. Tuesday are the special The Boulay Brothers Dracula Holiday of Horrors, Eat Bobby Flay Holiday Throwdown, and the season finale of The Void. Wednesday is the season finale of Ink Master, debut, and we're going to review it next week, What's in the Box, on Netflix. Season finale of Challenge, Vets a New Threats, Floor, and of course, Survivor Season 49, another review. The season finale of Dunkman, and Next Level Baker, and The Great Christmas Light Fight. But let's talk about Dad App, though. Now, we also know about Scott Rogowski's Savvy.live, which is, I believe, a once-a-week thing on Apple.
It's still being beta tested.
Right, okay. But the new one that's out there is called Sway. Every hour from about 11 to, 9-ish?
Yeah, it's every couple of hours. In fact, it's 3 o'clock, and while I'm recording this, I'm playing for $150 on a quiz devoted to Disney movies.
Okay, but now here's what it is. It's 12 questions, rapid fire, 5 seconds.
7.
If you solve all 12 and you're part of the pool, you win. Pretty much it.
Yep, I've won about $300 so far.
Say what?
I've won $300.
Not bad. Okay, how do you... Okay, well, for those who have won, not me yet, how do you take the money out?
It is a PayPal.
Okay. It's bare bones basic, but it's not terrible.
Yeah, and one of the best parts is it is a very much a creator. It's a creator-based community. There are creators who actually, you know, have their own quizzes. In fact, one of the creators, a lady by the name of Hannah, has a quiz in 2 hours from now.
By the way, if you like a different sort of puzzle, I got something else for you.
What's that?
Oh, good. Let's hear.
Netflix has a new thing called Puzzled. Now, they're not giving out cash prizes, but they are daily puzzles. Now, this month is Stranger Things month. So if you complete the puzzles there, you'll get pieces of exclusive interviews from the cast from behind the scenes of Stranger Things.
Nice.
You have 30 days to complete everything and get all the interview clips. That is Puzzled on Netflix. And you can get it for free. Obviously, you'll get more goodies if you're a subscriber on Netflix. But you don't have to be in order to partake in the games or the episodes or the interview clips.
That's actually smart.
Very smart.
This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Are you smarter than Nick Viall and Natalie Joy?
Oh, boy.
And Chico, why?
They have gotten it online for mom shaming. One of the secret lives of Mormon, Whitney Levitt. They've gotten mom shamed Whitney Levitt. And of course the other Mormon wives are calling it, and now I'm quoting, weird. I've got the quote from Stacey Schroeder, who says, well, actually, let's talk about a quote. Yeah, this is from Stacey Schroeder. I don't want to make it worse for them, but like you guys, that was weird.
Right. She says, because what happens is that Whitney Levitt is going to play Roxy Hart in Chicago. Okay?
Right.
And so Vial and on the Vial Files and Natalie Joy basically said, why are you doing this? Okay. And she said, weird. It says, it bothered me because that's an insecurity of mine that I have when I work too much and I'm like, am I good enough mom? Okay. Because she shares daughter Hartford. She's a Vanderpump Rules person. She's got two kids under four with her husband, Bo Clark. Okay. And she continues, that's constantly in the back of my head all the time, especially right now with everything that's going on. Alfred's like, why do you work so much? Because he's asking me that because he's four. I'm just because I love it. I want to be take care of you. And because you said you wanted a bigger house. Whatever anyone wants to choose to their family and what works for their family is fine. Everyone's situation is different. We can't be out there judging other families for what clearly works for them. Says Schroeder, who added, this wouldn't be happening if Levitt was a man. That's right. I agree with her.
He is absolutely 100% correct. And that just speaks to the whole misogynistic aspect of the whole deal.
Yes. Yep. Indeed. And again.
Completely, by the way. Yes.
I agree with that. But you pointed out this internet haterade.
Yes, I did. Haterade! Okay, so I'm going to start with the sort of the low league stuff, which is Paramount, after their hostile bid for Warner Brothers Discovery, has been hacked. Their X account read, proud arm of the fascist regime for a while.
Oof. I'm not saying they're wrong, but oof.
That is a big
I'm not saying they're right either, but oof.
Like, I'm not saying
not
they're
good.
It's like I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm also not saying it. And then you have Cartier Brown, with the internet coming for Cartier Brown replacing Valerie Bertinelli on Baking Championship. Cartier has answered back saying, the amount of adults leaving negative comments on my last post is alarming. I hear you. You're tired of competition shows and you want Valerie back. But guess what? I can't control any of that, so leaving nasty comments on my page won't change a single thing. I think
I'm not sick of shows, and I don't want Mallory back. What about those people?
Those people are not terminally online.
Oh.
Okay. Cartier continues. I think as adults, some of us have forgotten the core principles we teach children: be nice, be kind, and if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. We need to get back to the basics of manners. Social media has become a breeding ground for unnecessary meanness and unhappy people, and it doesn't have to be. If you... young audiences genuinely love these children-focused baking competitions, and if you have a problem with it, if it is not for you, just don't watch. Cartier, I love you, and I agree with you 100%, but here's the thing. The algorithm drives on toxicity. If you are okay. a complete and utter bastard, you're going to get attracted. You're going to get pushed through. You're going to get ratioed, but you're also going to get...
She doesn't deserve to be ratioed.
She doesn't. No. It's not her I'm talking about. I agree with her. It's all of these mean comments coming through. It's like...
Yeah, the algo sucks, move on. But that, see, the thing is, that's 30 seconds of it. For you know, you could take 20 minutes and just say the same thing. The algo sucks, move on.
Thank you.
If you that's it. And the fact is that budgets are being cut. There are very few seven-figure or eight-figure chefs on Food Network, Guy Fieri and Bobby Flay notwithstanding. And there's going to be budget cuts, okay? That's all. And let me just also, if I also may, because I'm gonna throw it out there, they don't like Cardia because she ain't that, because she's not melanin deficient, if you know what I mean. Okay?
Thoughts and opinions of Chico Alexander and Jason Block do not necessarily reflect the overall thoughts of WLTI or any of its subsidiaries. In other words, what are both of you smoking?
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
This is really simple. Really simple. If you watch, they air more. If you don't watch, they don't air more. If you don't watch enough to justify what somebody is getting paid, they're going to be working somewhere else. There is a color stronger than white and brown and black and orange,
it's green. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes.
You're right. Right.
It's like all of this stuff. It's like all of this stuff is happening around, but Food Network is making bank off of all of it.
Well, yes and no. It's again, in any industry, just like anything else, you need to justify, okay, is this worth the amount of money that they're being paid? It's simple. I don't understand about the algorithms or anything else. There's one algorithm, and it's a financial one. And you're really losing sight of that if you're going off into different tangents and different universes besides the one that we're all currently living in. Anyways, shall we move on? I think we all need to take a vacation. Where are Chico and Jason going, please?
We are going to the UK.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50 per person. That's £200 off for a family of four.
Okay, so Alan Carr, we love Alan Carr around here, is looking for the nation's dumbest. Yes, the UK is piloting its own version of the Norwegian format for the nation's dumbest. The plot line of the nation's dumbest is celebrities will compete in several games testing brain power. And if you happen to be, let's just say, celebrities, this is one show you do not want to win. Their aim is to get themselves eliminated and avoid being crowned as the nation's dumbest.
This is sort of a reverse concept of 99 to beat. And I like the concept of 99 and Beat. And I like this concept, too. And I like the fact that it's being done by celebrities who are legitimately trying to play the game so that they don't lose it versus civilians or, quote-unquote, internet celebrities, influencers, that may just, I don't know, not take this seriously.
Right.
Even though this whole concept should not be taken seriously to begin with, but that's another story for another time.
Yeah, it shouldn't be taken seriously. Right now, adaptations are being optioned in Finland, Germany, France, Sweden, and the U.S. So, something to look forward to.
I think this could be fun. I'm looking forward to this, and this could be a fun thing in the U.S. also.
Yes, it could.
Because, hey, there's a lot now.
In this week's Media Pro Report, we have the world's first AI-generated reality show. The players have no idea they're not real. I wish I was making this up. I really do. Mel Owens has donated his entire Golden Bachelor salary to Detroit Youth Football. Alex Horn was on the wheel this week, and he admits that he may have borrowed elements of Taskmaster from the Crystal Maze. We have a date for Season 3 of Eric Edgepong's Wild Card Kitchen. That's Tuesday, January 6th. We also have Jeremy Vine, Sally Lindsay, and Carol Vorderman on Season 5 of Celebrity Puzzling. We did say goodbye to Eric Berman, a former Jeopardy! Tournament of Champions contestant and radio broadcaster, and a Survivor editor, Sean Foley. Dylan Efron says Zac Efron got defensive over his reaction with Dancing with the Stars scores. Ari Lewandyke says 4 is enough. He's planning a second vasectomy. Jonathan Bennett gets a taste of his own medicine on the penultimate episode of Season 2 of Finding Mr. Christmas. Michael Strahan is inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Michael. And
yay.
Sharna Burgess reacts to toxic rumors of Dancing with the Stars backstage. Alex Earl reportedly splits with her boyfriend. Go get him, Tiger! And Padma Lakshmi...
So you, Shay.
And Padma Lakshmi describes America's Culinary Cup, which is coming next year, in the most colorful way possible by saying, we have no format. But
right. Yes, that's exactly what you want to hear as a network executive. You just spent a lot of money purchasing my show. And by the way, your guess on the format is as good as ours.
Right.
And we wonder why these shows are going over to Netflix.
And none of them are your Media Pro of the Week, and that is...
I'm shocked by that. I'm shocked.
I actually have two.
By the way, John Cena has officially retired from...
That's one of my Media Pros of the Week.
From in-ring work, and from what I understand, the ending was very anticlimactic.
No, the
it was exactly
okay, no.
as it should have happened. Everyone
Bingo,
wants
Gordon.
To make a superhero thing. It makes no sense. The only thing that makes sense is the ending that they had. And if you don't understand that, you're a bunch of smarks.
Yes, exactly.
Seriously, go read a book.
You know something?
Gordon, it was the perfect ending. It really was. It was the perfect ending, and it was freaking gorgeous, and it was just, it was art. It was cinema.
It was a beautiful passing of the torch.
I liked it.
It was beautifully done, and it was terrific, and it was, and of course, it was probably Cena's call for him to do it that way, and it was just great. It was terrific, okay? So.
I agree with both of you. And,
right, but
any more?
Gigo,
any more
I hope the man you have as the Media Pro of the Week is the one I'm thinking of.
Probably not, but who are you thinking of?
The man who celebrated his 100th birthday yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Dick Van Dyke. Yes. Dick Van Dyke, who, by the way, we can say that because he was actually in the running, and this was confirmed by multiple sources, to be the host of The Price is Right in the 1950s. But he didn't think that a grocery game show would succeed. True story.
So,
congratulations on making 100. Seriously.
Yes, and
who do you have?
Well, for as a runner-up, we have more info on the Masked Singer, and one of the contestants is going to be unmasked.
Oh yes, Gordon, I love this twist. I really do.
At least
this is fantastic.
You and me and everybody watching, the judges will have no idea who it is, but. For the first time in series history, The Masked Singer is introducing America's Insider, a brand new twist that lets fans know a celebrity is competing without revealing which mask they're under. That person in this season is singer, actress, dancer, and social media standout Kylie Cantrell from the Disney Channel, whose involvement will be public knowledge long before the panel catches on. She will not unveil her costume until premiere night, but she'll be dropping clues and behind-the-scenes teases in the lead-up. But then again, she didn't lose a job to Bill Cullen. Congratulations, Dick Van Dyke, and happy birthday.
No, but seriously, Kylie Cantrell, that's perfect because, Gordon, you know she's only 20 and the kiddos love her because she's part of the Descendants series. Okay?
Yeah, I think it's a smart choice. I'm looking forward to it.
No, but I actually think it's a smart move because it reinvigorates the series a little bit.
Yeah, and part of it, and you know what? Fox did not do a bad thing by resting the series for the fall.
No, it did not. If you do it once a year instead of twice, good job.
And you have, and you had the floor and you had the floor and 99 to beat to make up for it. So if you ask me, good move, Fox.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
And the button right here. That was fine. Okay, so in Act 3, we're going to present you stuff, and let's say we want to buy it or not. Or maybe.
Yes.
Let's find out.
You are running out of... If you are shopping for the holidays, you are running out of time. But don't worry, we got you. Yes, it's Are You Buying What They're Selling? Right after this on WLTI. WLTI has been presented by The Masked Singer Beast Games. Yes, it's The Masked Singer, only the only contestants underneath the masks are friends of Mr. Beast, of which he has many, because they show up in every single one of his videos. But who is under the mask? We'll find out when The Masked Singer Beast Games drops on the 30th of February.
Not gonna do it.
Oh, come on!
A Masked Singer Beast Games Furry Edition. No, I'm sorry. Oh my god.
What is this?
You know what? I ain't buying that, but here's what we do have. As we know, it's Hanukkah time, it's Christmas time, it's Kwanzaa,
bit. It's Chico's birthday time. No, Chico's birthday's next month.
It's next month. We've got 6 items that you are going to present, Chico, and we're going to ask, would you buy it, sell it, or just a nope? Or at a different price point? For example,
from the Paramount shop.
Nope.
Let's just say,
what is it?
It is a Survivor Yeti. A Survivor Yeti Rambler. 20-ounce stackable cup comes with a lid emblazoned with the Survivor logo. It costs $65. Yeah, no.
First of all, number one, no. Okay, first of all, I'm not going to say it, a big box store, okay?
Uh-huh.
You know, that starts with A and ends with N. You can get what I mean from there.
I got you.
Okay, so I am looking up a 20-ounce Yeti Rambler, right? Okay. And I am going to find out if the search engine would do it. Yeah, here we go. Okay. A 20-ounce Yeti Rambler normally is $30.
Are you blinking me?
Okay. You want to see it?
No, I mean, are you? I'm talking about Paramount charging me $60 for a $30. I'm just like, are you blinking me?
Exactly. So,
This does not make me great on bargain hunters.
No, this is not. There. I'm sorry for the long name, but yeah, there it is. Okay.
I see it.
It's 30. I mean, usually the normal price is even $38, which is still a pretty good bargain for a cup. By the way, I'm a Stanley guy. Okay. I like my Stanley cups. Thank you very much.
I got a free Stanley from my work.
Nice. But $65 for a cup? No.
$35 for the Survivor logo. That's it.
Okay. That's a load of moo poo. Yeah, exactly. Next one. I'm assuming next one.
Let Chico do the next one.
All right, I've got one.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just say do you love Wheel of Fortune, but do you hate when it rains? We have, from the Wheel of Fortune shop, Wheel of Fortune umbrella. You can have the regular tote umbrella for $19.96, or if you really want a party, you can have the Wheel of Fortune premium wheel umbrella with a wooden handle that you can hang on things $35.96.
Okay. Here's where I would say maybe on this. Okay. Umbrellas you can buy on the cheap. Okay. But if you are a fan, yeah, I'd do it. It's a maybe for me.
Sorry.
I would buy it at a discount.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't mind a $5 to $10 over mark. I'll get it for $35 or $40. I'm not getting it for $60.
Okay.
All right. Now, while we're on Wheel of Fortune, we have from dylanscandybar.com, because they did work with Wheel of Fortune this year, the Sweet Surprise Wild Card Mystery Box. Unwrap this oversized Wheel of Fortune wild card to find four types of candy inside. The only catch is you have to play the game to figure out what you're tasting. This limited edition interactive gift is an excellent centerpiece or watch party treat.
And I'm actually looking at it right now, and it's $25. It's on sale right now.
Well, it was on sale, but it was unfortunately sold out. But let's just say, for argument's sake, it is not sold out, and you want to gift it as somebody. Are you buying it?
I am. I love this. This is beautiful. This is great. I love it.
Awesome.
I think it's awesome. I'd buy this. I would. Okay.
All right, Gordon.
I have the exact same reaction as I did with the last thing. I would buy it, but not at that price. I will take a discount.
That is the discount. Okay. 25 is marked down from 50.
What? Okay.
20?
Okay. Next up. Okay, so we have Outsmarted, the app-connected TV quiz show board game. The 2026 edition is on sale at Amazon for $21.
Live quiz.
Let me put it.
I'm looking at it here.
Nice little game to have your game night if you are quizzically inclined. I actually saw this at SporkleCon a few years back, but I never got it.
Right, and actually, if you buy this game before January 31st, 2026, okay, and you do one attempt per day, you can win up to $1,000 in cash.
Really?
Yes, I would buy this.
Okay.
If you go to Outsmarted, I would buy this at $21.
Okay.
I would.
Mr. Gordon?
Yes. I'll agree with Jay. $21, I would take a chance at $21.
Can I add one, if you don't mind?
Oh, please,
Chico,
go ahead.
I'm going to say this, and this is for places around the country, okay? A gift card or tickets to the Great Big Game Show in a location near you. If you can find one, because there are all over the place. But yes.
I would buy it.
I would absolutely buy it. Jay and I were fortunate enough to play a version of this. It is a lot of fun. There is definitely a lot of different games that you can feel when playing their version of said games, but it's a lot of fun. I would definitely buy it.
I'd buy it too, and you also can get a gift card to this. And just to let you know, there are locations in, I'll do it very quickly, San Francisco, San Jose, California, Washington, D.C., Honolulu, Hawaii, Oak Brook, Illinois, that's outside of Chicago, Minneapolis. There's two in Vegas, by the way. We should go next time we go. St. Louis.
Nationals is next year. Just saying.
Uh-huh. Indeed. East Rutherford, New Jersey, just opened in New York this past couple weeks ago. Nashville and Pigeon Forge in Tennessee. Houston and the Colony in Texas. Murray, Utah, and two in Seattle. And with a lot more coming in. There it goes. Okay, hold on. You two continue, please.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of Trivia Nationals, they have not posted the price points, but we have dates for Trivia Nationals in Las Vegas in 2026. They are bringing the band back together, as it were.
Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Yes, it is August 7th through 9th at one of our favorite spots, the South Point Hotel and Casino.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know how much this is, because
what is it?
It's the Trivia Nationals. They have not posted. They have not posted a price point yet.
No, they have not. They have not. So I think that's something we'd have to hold on to. Okay.
So I'm just gonna put a gigantic pending next to it.
Yes. And what else you got?
And, oh, yeah. Go to the Netflix shop and you can get your very own Squid Game The Challenge jersey shirt. At any number.
Does it come with exploding blood packs?
No.
It is just a raglan
shirt.
Nope.
With a number on it.
And how much is it, by the way?
It is $30.
$30, I'd buy it, but no.
Meh.
So
yeah.
Meh.
I mean, I wouldn't buy it, but that's just, if you're a really big fan of Squid Game, yes, I'd buy it, but otherwise, probably not.
Okay. I believe that's the last one, right?
I believe that is the last one. So there you go.
Right, but before we do that,
uh huh.
Why don't we give one suggestion from each of us of something that we would recommend to give to somebody this year for the holiday season? One of my favorites, as I saw this last year, was the Jeopardy Hanukkah sweater. You remember that one?
Yes.
Okay. What about you, Chico?
I actually got this last year. It didn't arrive in time for me to wear it to work, but the Jeopardy ugly sweater.
That's what I just said.
Oh. Well, come back to me.
I said the Jeopardy Hanukkah sweater.
Well, come back to me, Gordon.
But what about anything else?
Come back to me. Gordon?
Okay. Gordon, what about you?
Say it again one more time.
You give me one item that you think a game show fan would love this holiday season that in just by you, not just what they're selling. What would you recommend for yourself? By yourself.
Oh, for myself.
Well, not for yourself. No, what would you recommend to give? Like, in other words, like I said, I would love the Jeopardy Hanukkah sweater myself. I think that's great. That's a great gift.
See, as you know, I think a little bit differently, but I'm definitely into the knowledge and dropping the knowledge and doing all that stuff. I would say, and this is sort of weird, but if they have the latest edition of Game Show Marathon, I would get that.
Okay.
And before you all say, it challenges everything, almost sort of like Netflix Puzzler. For that aspect, except it doesn't really have the amount of trivia that it should.
Right. I would also, oh, and by the way, of course, my recommendation, and yes, he's a friend of ours, but his books are insane. Adam Needham's historical biographies are just off the chain good.
Okay.
You should get those. Those are really terrific.
All right, I got mine. My suggestion would be the game show Murders, if you're big on puzzle solving, murder mystery experiences. This is a really good one.
Okay, that's cool. But may you all get the gifts that you want, but the one gift we have left is a speed round, and we're going to do that right after this here at 5-1. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by Man vs. Rabbit Reindeer. It's Rudolph the Reckoning, Part 8000. Losers get put on a sled, which is carried off the sled by Rudolph, but he can't fly, and for that matter, neither can you. That is Man vs. Reindeer the Reckoning, coming to a movie theater near you. Bambi approves. Go be like Bambi.
Oh my gosh. This just got dark all of a sudden.
Yeah, it did.
By the way, did you see Bambi the Reckoning? You should.
No, I have not, but...
go see it.
I will, but what we need to see is a speed round, and we're going to do that now. Survivor, pick a winner.
Rizzo. Going with Rizzo.
I'm going to go with the upset, say Sophie.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to even go better. I'm going to say Christina. I think the person who is under the radar the most is going to be that way, is going to win. Wheel of Fortune, no Secret Santa Millionaires. Are we going to get in the second one this season?
I don't think so, Tim.
I think the secret is no.
Okay, the secret is no.
All right, so next week we are going to be talking about the finales of The Floor and Survivor and anything that happens on the Jeopardy Second Chance. But in the meantime, please don't forget, we don't... Oh, wait, we have mail! I completely forgot about our mail!
That's right, didn't you say that we had to move it to this week, that's right.
We had to move it this week because it was very long, you see.
And go for it.
Okay, this is from our ombudsman, Stephen Buis. Wrote you about this a couple weeks ago, but it either didn't get through or wasn't acknowledged. There's a YouTube channel called Musical Chair 75, which has been posting episodes of that game show from 50 years ago. I thought that this was lost media, but apparently somebody, Don Kirshner's estate, still has the tapes, and the picture quality is not bad. Just wondering if you've seen it, and maybe you could do a retro review. The ombudsman remembers watching this for a few weeks during a summer as a 9-year-old and didn't realize at the time the significance of Adam Wade being the first ever African-American host. The gameplay isn't bad, but they never settled on a scoring system. Also, you could blindly guess B or C before the answers were revealed, a negative for me. They had two different bonus games as well. One was giving the second line to 10 songs after one of the guests sang the first line. The other was arranging the first 10 lines of one song in order using magnetic tiles. I liked the first one better, but they probably dropped it because it meant paying more royalties. So that's my take on Musical Chairs, grade B-. Love to hear yours. Keep spreading the love, guys.
Well, we appreciate the mail. I have actually never watched a full episode of Musical Chairs, but I do recognize the significance of Adam Wade. So,
you know, I
Adam Wade was first... And Nipsey Russell was second, right?
Yes. Now, we've actually talked about this on an episode of It Was a Thing on TV, and by then, there was just the one episode that was circulating online. We may have to go back and revisit this. So, that's something to look forward to. But
We definitely will.
But yeah, if you want to send us some email, our address is WLTI@gameshownewsnet.com. Of course, you can follow us on all social media at Game Show Newsnet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block with the number 2.
And I am CSN in Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5N1Net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything going on network-wide. For example, we brought this up earlier. I'm guessing you did something on the NAWC about the big farewell of one John Cena.
Yes, we did it last night. We basically recapped Saturday night's main event and the absolute perfect ending. Okay, sorry, we got it. We are going to actually do a John Cena retrospective next week as well. And of course, Nikki's got the Nikki Awards, the best and worst of wrestling of 2025. Chico, you and I, as we're talking Sunday, we've got a game of the year of the week going on in New England right now, potentially. And of course, we're going to be recapping week 15 in the NFL on Tuesday on the BS.
Yep, including, we've got this as a breaking news, if I can find the proper button for it. Anyway, Myles Garrett breaks Michael Strahan's record.
Yes. The most sacks in a season. He won't win the MVP, but he'll get paid. So, which is more important.
That is correct, sir. That is correct, sir.
Indeed. And of course, we're going to have the playoffs in both fantasy football leagues. And I believe we might have some clinchmas.
We do have some clinching scenarios, and of course, Carolina is gotten off one half of their clinching scenarios. All they have to do is win this game, and then win next week, they're in.
Yes, and by the way, we have the BS Big Show Game of the Week, WEAK. The Eagles beat the Raiders 31-0.
That's happening this week on the BS Big Show. What's going on in the UBA?
By December 27th, all of the titles are up for grabs in the Northeast.
In one local?
More details this week.
Okay. Excellent. So, and of course, UBA Today.info for all your Underground Bowling Association needs. Finally, it was the thing.
We have a couple of Christmas stories. Well, actually, we have our viewer's choice. Big John, Little John. That came out Tuesday. Friday, we have one of our Christmas entries. It is the Little Rascals Christmas Special, which features a new generation of Little Rascals with a couple of voices from the previous generation, but a whole lot of that Little Rascals charm. Only animated and in color. So, yeah, all of that is at itwasathingontv.com. Next week, Finale Palooza, Survivor, The Floor, Jeopardy Second Chance.
That starts up. And aren't we going to have our, and of course, Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal heading towards Christmas week.
Yep. That's
true.
And of course, in 2 weeks, two episodes from now, we have the top 10 stories of 2025. And three episodes from now, the best and worst of everything, 2025. So, stuff to look forward to here on the world's strongest. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time's up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.